Hi, everyone. It's Gabby. And we're going to start doing some bonus episodes weekly for the listeners. And what we're trying to do is just take these specific bite-sized topics, go through them pretty quickly, and drill down on specific takeaways. What we're also doing is we fielded some questions and we try to elaborate from there. Hi, so for the bonus round, around the conversation with PJ Nessler, we talked about a lot of things, and then I was asked just to expand on a couple points in there. PJ mentioned sort of jokingly and seriously about using even breathing in his interpersonal relationships or conflicts, and his protocols and breathing techniques. And so I was asked, you know, without getting too sciencey, you know, what do I do now in conflicts that's healthier than what I used to do? Well, that's really easy because I was never taught, and it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like I was neglected. I just was never taught how to have healthy conflict. And also, I think because I generally thought keeping my emotions close to the vest was really, that's just how I dealt with things. And it was more organized. It was, I didn't have to expose myself, right? To say, hey, I'm sad or I'm angry or I didn't like when you said that. This actually is exposing yourself. And so it wasn't until I was with Laird and after a long period of time, funny enough, was I willing to actually say how I was feeling because I didn't want to be that vulnerable. And so what maybe for me was like, oh, I thought I was being stoic or coming across as strong after kind of being in a relationship, especially with somebody who's the opposite, right? Like Laird is out there. He says everything he thinks and feels, even when he's wrong. He's totally okay with like someone's going to think I'm wrong or they won't agree with me or they'll feel differently. And he's okay with that. And so early on in our relationship, I wouldn't say anything. And so I thought, well, I love him. I'm going to be with him and I'm not going to say anything. And then what happened is I sort of would develop kind of grudges about things, but I'm not giving the other person an opportunity. It's not like I'm saying, hey, this is, you know, this is how I feel when you do this. Instead, I just bottled it in. And then after about 5 years, we almost broke up and I couldn't trace it back. It's like, in a way, it's like you can't trace it back to sort of these very small things that if had you had a conversation, you could have probably saved yourself a lot of grief and time. And that was definitely one of the big lessons. So instead you have 5 years of a bunch of little things that you can't really point to one so the other person understands what you're talking about. And you have very specific examples. You're just like, yeah, I'm not into this anymore. Or you're like this or whatever weird things you do just from lack of someone teaching you and then practicing and seeing how they receive you know, your feelings. So long story short, after we kind of decided, hey, we're going to really try to give it a go, I promised myself that I would speak up and that I would always communicate, even when I felt uncomfortable or, and, you know, sometimes what you realize, and I know, you know, if you're into any relationship at all, it isn't a question of one person is right and one person is wrong. It's when these things happen, I feel this. I'll go a little deeper on it. Laird is very intense. He wants to be out in nature all the time. Sometimes the environment, whether it's the actual environment or he has other commitments, you know, with work or something like that, doesn't really allow for him to be out there. And it makes him crabby. And sometimes, you know, he has no problem kind of just there, what you see is what you get. And it's beautiful, but after a while you live with it and you're just like, holy cow, I mean, this is intense. And so in the old days, let's say Laird was in a weird mood, I'd either walk on eggshells, which let me tell you is a no-no. Never do that, because not only do you harbor resentment, but the other person secretly is more mad because they're bummed that they see you walking on eggshells. And I always say, like, don't flatten out. You have to kind of set a very clear sort of boundary. Doesn't mean you're combative or unnecessarily confrontational or even like, hey, here's the boundary. It's just that you have a clear boundary of what you are willing to kind of navigate, and then you have to speak up. That's on us. And so Laird was in a mood, and it was really a crunchy one, and I split and took Brody. One of our daughters had to go somewhere, and it took a while. It took like 4 hours. We were doing something. And I thought, okay, that'll be enough time. And usually, you know, he kind of figures out like, oh yeah, that's not working. And I come home and it's like even worse. And I think, oh, here we go. But it, again, I'm not looking for it, and I'm not looking to make it about me. In the old days, I might have been like, if you were happier or you loved me more, you wouldn't act like that. And it really just doesn't have nothing to do with that. So we had dinner. It was totally unpleasant, you know, the kind. And I thought, okay, I can just take a shower and like get to bed, and tomorrow's another day. And that's just experience, right? We're in this, I'm in 26 years. So this is the experience of having had days like this and knowing that you're going to love each other. You'll work it out. But he went a little, he went far. So finally, you know, Laird likes to have all the rooms getting dark as we're going to bed. And so even in our bathroom, when he takes a shower at night, he turns on one very small light, usually like in the water closet, but that it's like, hey, we're winding down. We're getting ready for bed. So he's sitting in the shower. I decide, you know, I have to say something now. And I flick the lights on, which is not like me, but it's also like, okay, I have to lean into this a little bit and just go right up to him. And I said to him, listen, I get it. I know why you're like this. Cause it's also, by the way, connected to everything else I love about him, his free spirit. Just the fact that he loves to go in nature. So I understand, like, it's all connected, like all of us. Everything pretty cool about me is probably some of the things that it's obnoxious to be with. But I just said, I felt like, I was like, I'm too old to be reprimanded by my partner. Because that's what it started to feel like. I don't know if you ever get in that dynamic where it's like your partners, but somehow like someone's acting like they're like someone else is in trouble. It's like, okay, I'm too old for this. Like, I have parents and you're not one of them. And I, you know, I used to joke with Laird sometimes, like I get corralled in with the girls, my daughters, and I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not like one of your daughters. But with no emotion, not like hysterical, not combative, not to looking to make him feel guilty or weird. I'm not a victim in this, but just like, hey, like this isn't, it's not cool. And he said, clear as day, it's just not my intention. My intention is not that. And I'll be honest, I did sleep in the other room that night, but it was more about just giving things space. And it wasn't about, huh, I'm sleeping in the other room. It was just needing kind of that perspective and that distance. So what I would say is that what I've learned typically is, unless you're going to say something and let the other person know, you can't get too aggravated by it because they don't, maybe they're in the middle of it, you know, and they can't get out of their own way. And so it is really on us to stand up for ourselves. But what I do say is that how I have used trying to be healthy or be healthier or breathing and just slowing everything down is creating that space. That's what it's for. How do I get a little bit of distance between my emotions, which may be real or not real, and what's happening? And that can be in anything. That can be in business. That can be in parenting. That can be in a really seriously critical situation where making the right decision is a good idea. So one thing helpful with that is if you exhale longer than you inhale, that begins to downregulate you. So if you can do that for a few minutes, generally that puts you, depending on how aggravated you are, into your parasympathetic. So I just, you know, want to be very clear. I have learned most things by doing them wrong, you know, like all of us, and through making my own mistakes and through, you know, big mistakes, even as an adult, and being not, you know, imperfect and hurting people that I love. I did not, you know, these were not things that you get put into the world and then you go to college and they go, great, now you know how to communicate, now you know how to have healthy conflict, now you know how to stand up for yourself, now you know how to express yourself. So I just want to be really clear that if any of this sounds reasonable, it's because I have stunk it up so badly before this. And then I was asked, like, hey, what do you still strive to do better? There's so much. I strive to listen more. And when I say that, I mean, and not fix and not solve for people, especially the ones close to me, like my family members. I am striving, and I alluded to this a little bit in my last solo podcast, to offload narratives. It's like every day, you know, instead of being defined by so many things that I think I am or that I'm supposed to represent, it's like, how do I just try to be who I am right in this moment? I don't think I do that great. 'Cause you get locked in into these identifications and things. And to wait, to let things wait till tomorrow. I'm always trying to button everything up or get the checklist done. And sometimes that's at the cost of an intimate moment with someone in my family, or, you know, taking 5 minutes to go out and look at the moon. This podcast is brought to you by Ritual. I personally have been taking their multivitamin since, well, right when COVID started. I needed one and I learned all about Ritual and I've been taking it ever since. And they know, listen, that women really do need to be a part of the scientific research. And they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And the results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43%. We all know the importance of vitamin D. And omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. So they are really very big, not only on the science, but making sure that the ingredients are traceable, clean, and in a bioavailable form, which means your body knows what to do with the actual nutrients once it gets it. And the way they did it is so simple. They took 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. And it's really easy because it's gentle on an empty stomach. If you're rushing around, you can't be like, oh, I have to get my vitamins, but I need to eat first. Even has a nice little minty essence right at the end after you take it. So you don't have those weird, I call them vitamin burps. I'm not loving it. And Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp. And like I said earlier, everything is traceable. So no more funny business, nothing shady. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. You can get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Gabby. That's Ritual, ritual.com/Gabby. You can start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today at ritual.com/Gabby for 25% off. Fun for me, I don't know how high it is on the list. And feeling it more than experiencing it through my brain. Because there's like a time and a place, and I'm trying to shift more into feeling it in my heart and my body, and not, you know, always analyzing everything. So those are some. I mean, the list again is longer than that. And I get asked a lot about compartmentalizing. I feel like I'm pretty good at that. Sometimes. You know, I think you don't want to compartmentalize too much. So it's this fine line of, hey, I might be having something going on that can't resolve itself. You know, we've all have things happen to us, even ones that we're not creating, that like it's going to take time to heal or get better. And so, but life has to go on. And that is an interesting dance. But I always go into if someone was going to say a conflict or a fight with the idea of resolving it, not with winning or punishing somebody. So if you ask me what I do, probably a lot better than I used to when I was younger. Because remember, you come from athletics. It's like, well, somebody has to lose and somebody has to win. And what you realize in life is if you win, then I win. And I want to live there, you know. And even if it's like in the parking lot with a stranger, I don't need to. Their victories are my victories. And kind of entering misunderstandings with this attitude. Because the other, right, if you get angry or aggressive, I have since learned, you know, this is really coming from that scared part of myself. And so maybe that would be another place that I'm trying to work on being better is to recognize quickly, like, ooh, you're uncomfortable or you're afraid because you are really aggressive. And another little trick that really helps me a lot is I honor my instincts, you know, most of the time, I really do. And it doesn't mean I'm judging somebody or I'm judging the situation, but I'm getting information and I'm trying to really listen to that. So, you know, even with people, like there's people where I'm like, you know, maybe we're just, it's like we don't have a natural chemistry or we do things differently. And rather than getting frustrated or start trying to guess why they do things the way they do, I've actually also learned to get that distance and not like get super focused on them, but actually almost make it fuzzy because it's not worth it. There's so much time we spend on like being confused by people or why they're doing something the way they do it or letting that anger us. And you realize in an hour, it's not going to bother you. So how could I get to that quicker too? So in the conversations with PJ, I understood what he meant about the breathing and using that. But it's also using all these experiences that we're collecting to get to these better places sooner. I'm thinking like, you know, by the time all the kids move out of the house or, you know, I'm like 80, I should get pretty good at it. But I fall all the time. And then finally, I'll say this. I honor all my feelings. So if I'm aggravated by somebody, I have a very honest internal dialogue with myself, like kind of brutal sometimes. And it's good because I can just offload it inside. It can be brutal and it could be, you know, about, it could be layered. It could be someone I'm, you know, working with. It could be a kid. Because I sometimes think being too, at least internally diplomatic, like that's okay. I don't think that's good either. I think like being like, you know, even if it's like, oh, you know, F these people and maybe it's the person that like, you know, you're going to sleep next to and then go, okay, cool. I've had that thing inside myself. Now what are you going to do? I think that's really helpful. So don't, I never try to lose that. I'm not always like someone's mommy and someone's wife and someone who's trying to, you know, be healthy. Sometimes I'm like, you know, a belligerent teenager and internally rolling my eyes. And then I work from there because I feel like then I can release it quicker. But the breath definitely is helpful, but also feeling good. So if you don't have new children, getting to bed, exercising, eating healthy, all of it is not so that you can be, you know, six-pack abs or a high-performance athlete. It's so that you can be a high-performing organism, human being who, you know, walks through their life trying to make it easier, not only for yourself, but maybe the people around you. That wraps it up for today. Make sure to follow us on Spotify for free episodes and subscribe to The Gabby Reece Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Gabby Reece on Instagram and Twitter. Aloha.